Every week, Phony Bennett will join the Locker Room Access crew to discuss the most important, most talked about, and or fun tweets. Most of you know him as he has over 20,000 Twitter followers. Our five-pillar guy joins us now to talk tweets of the week on the Foches show. Coach, how was your week?
It was fantastic. I got yet another DM from somebody who wants me to check out his mixtape. Someone apparently unable to discern between Tony and Phony. I'm super nice to these guys. I'm like, good luck to you. Here's Catherine Palmer. Several years ago, I messaged her because I was like, look, I'm getting all these people that want me to do that. I don't want to get in any trouble as a booster because the NCAA is stupid like that. And so she gave me an email address. It's like a public email address for Tony, like just send him this email address. And so that's what I do. And I wish him luck, but I've had parents. Like 6 months ago, I had an assistant who I refused to name at another program reach out to me because he's looking for mentors who are head coaches. And I'm like, dude, man, the first thing you want to do if you need to, if you're trying to move up is learn to read. Like, but no, I'm nice because I don't want to be a jerk or get people reporting me to Twitter like I'm pretending to be something I'm not. But it's like, man, I don't look at these mixtapes and I typically don't remember their names, but it is truly the hardest part of fake coaching is telling a guy that I can't give him a scholarship because
imagine if Phony Bennett overlooks the next Michael Jordan, like the kid. Right. Yeah, right. Michael Jordan of 2020.
If you went back in your history.
You could be the link.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't want to be the reason why some great player doesn't go to Virginia because Phony dusted him off. Like, and so I'm always like real nice. Best of luck to you. I'll be cheering for you if I hear your name. Like, it's just weird.
Do you watch the mixtapes?
I've never watched I've probably watched one. And it was like maybe the first one just because I was like, okay, are these guys any good that are sending me in? And I mean, most of them are guys who are probably lightly recruited. And I mean, I respect the hustle. But I'm like, man, I can't help you. I agree. It's Phony. It doesn't say Tony, but hey, I don't know why they don't read better.
But now that Catherine's gone, who do you send him to?
Well, I just asked Catherine, for an email address, like, do you have something that I can send these folks to? And she gave me, it's a Coach Bennett email address. And I mean, I'm sure it's not Coach Bennett that's reading it, but it's an email address for him that hopefully someone is watching. Cause I've sent him a ton of top tier talent, according to these guys. they're all really good. This guy, let me see. And I'm not gonna name names, but
how do you pronounce this? Zion Williams?
Class of 21.
I'm sorry, Mr.
Right. Yeah.
You have a nice dunk shot, but you got the wrong guy. Peace.
Right. I still got a DM from Zion that I never answered. That's my bad. Now this guy's a 6'8", 212-pound, small and powered forward who's a sharpshooter. And
he jumps 40 inches.
Yeah.
See, you know what? Terry Holland didn't answer Michael Jordan's request, and look at you now not answering Zion's request.
Right. It's on me. That's my bad, guys.
Maybe we might be in trouble if Zion actually came to UVA.
Right.
The number one pick in the 2023 draft.
Screw you, Tony Bennett. You never responded to my DM. They'd be so mad. I've seen people discussing, like, would Tony Bennett have taken Zion Williamson? And that's like whether or not, like all the money stuff aside, like, knowing he was a one and done, would Tony have taken Zion? I was like, are you insane? Like this guy is a generational talent. Like, yeah, would Tony get on his high horse and be like, well, right. I want someone who's in it for the long haul?
Right, he probably would have redshirted him.
Yeah,
having watching tapes of Akil Mitchell, so he knows how to guard four people at the time.
Well, Junior Burrow on our podcast said, Coach Bennett liked him, just didn't know if he'd be interested because of he had a bunch of handlers and all this other stuff that he wasn't so sure about. So,
Oh yeah, I mean, I can see staying away from a guy if you know he's in it to get paid, and you know, I think a lot of the times it's pretty much an open secret, like who's looking right. for the
he's handouts. Got the handout,
and I mean, good for him for staying away from those.
So I thought every week we would just take a look at a few tweets that are, you know, I wouldn't say trending, but ones that's, you know, somewhat related to basketball, UVA. Sports, whatever. Here's the first one I've got. This is from Reddit founder Alexis Ohanian. I resigned as a member of the Reddit board. I have urged them to fill my seat with a black candidate and will use future gains in Reddit stock to serve the black community. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, I did.
Is he the UVA guy that married
Serena?
Best tennis player in the history of the sport?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. I mean, Reddit, it's one of those places they've really struggled to kind of control the hate and
yeah.
Like, I get it. Like, you want to be like a First Amendment place where people can express themselves and give people freedom to talk, and then it becomes a cesspool and you find yourself not sure what to do. So they've been kind of slow to fight back against that stuff, but I'm glad to see. Now, I don't know how much he can help as not being a member of the Reddit board, but you know, if they fill a seat with a person of color, then you know, hopefully they can make some improvements, because as I understand, like, their board is like four white guys right now. So,
all right.
Tell you what, as little as I understand about Twitter, I have absolutely no clue what the fuck Reddit is. None.
Yeah. I know.
I don't know what it
can
is.
Can you explain it, T Dubs?
So Reddit is like a community type of website for message boards, essentially. So you can create subgroups of whatever you want, and then you drive people to them, and then you respond, and it's like a message board, right? You post, people reply. It's like a forum, but it's like all community driven. So if you're interested in one particular topic, you create that board and you send it to your friends, and then it grows that way. So you can imagine there's every type of board imaginable on there, and people like can view it and talk and chat and discover and all that stuff. So like, everyone finds some sort of community on here. If you love collecting Pez dispensers, right, there's right. probably a Pez dispenser okay. thing for you. If you know, so both sides of the coin, right? There's horrible stuff on there as well. So,
well, yeah, because you can make your own rules for your subreddit. You yeah. pick your own moderators to right. enforce those rules. So
right.
it's kind of got this, you know, Wild West feel. And so then all these like really hateful subreddits started popping up, and
right.
they were slow to address them. And, you know, I don't really know where they are now on that stuff. I know they've shut down some of the big ones, some of the creepier ones, but
yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, you're just constantly stomping out these groups that are trying to form. So, you know, because of the freedom that they gave, you know, now they're seeing the downside of that. I was watching a PlayStation 5. Some of you guys are gamers.
Yeah.
PlayStation 5 was revealing a bunch of their games today that are going to be on the, Sony was revealing some of the PlayStation 5 games, and probably the first 10 games that they did, all of the lead protagonists were either women or they were people of color. Like, there were no white male protagonists. And the Reddit thread for that, I went to the Reddit thread, and I mean, it was just garbage, just people, you know, pissed off that they can't play this new video game as a white male. And so, I mean, you see these cultural things that are just so negative and so toxic. So I probably won't be going back to the PlayStation forum on that.
Did you see the Zion Williamson sweating one?
No, I did not. I might have tuned out. Oh, was that on the NBA 2K?
Yeah, they had a basketball 2K one. Gotcha. And it was literally just Zion sweating.
Sweaty Zion Williams. That's,
yeah.
You know, is a really realistic sweat. Rendered in high definition,
pretty much. It's like, that's, you know,
that's what we're looking for.
Yeah,
for video games.
You should definitely. I don't know. Reddit. It's not for everyone. They say it's the front page of the internet. It's kind of how it's designed. Like, you know, where people can go And it's really smart. It's super smart because, like, as people chat, like, things bubble up and then get surfaced. So you could just go to Reddit and see what most people are talking about, and you get, a mixture of, you know, all the different things. And then you can sort of drill into what you care about, and you can save it. And, like, there's a college basketball one that's pretty good. Right.
Yeah, so I'm subscribed to the college basketball board, to a couple disc golf boards, and I think one of pictures of cats or something, like, you know, just like cute stuff, and that can be very refreshing in this world.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's the front page of the internet and the kind of the doorstep of the dark web.
Yeah, I try to stay away from the scary stuff.
The next one is, I don't know if you guys have seen this one.
It's Jay Huff.
This is Jay Huff. This is the Unity Means. All the guys on there. I only posted this one because you retweeted this one, Phony, with your comment about your daughter.
I did. And so my daughter had sent me this picture. Let me see if I can pull it up and show it to you guys. She had sent me because Virginia Sports had tweeted something about him, and so she sends me this thing and says, OMG, he's so cute, is he on the team this year? And I said, well, hopefully we can meet him next season. And she said yeah. I said, I'm gonna tweet at him and tell him that you think he's cute. And she says yes with three S's, which I think that means the kids that they're serious about it. She says, yes, tell me what he says. And I said, okay, let me figure out how to do that, but he's too old for you, just saying. And she said, I know that, but he's so cute, I want a picture with him. And so that was sometime in May. And then when I saw him post that, I was like, you know, that's probably a good time to go ahead and mention that she likes it. And he didn't actually respond, so I don't have anything to tell her, but I'm pretty sure his mom followed me after that, so I'm not sure what that means.
That's awesome.
But either way, my daughter's 15. She's still a little bit young for Justin, but I was happy to share his tweet. And it's nice to see the athletes active like that.
And then this next one, Matthew McConaughey sitting down having an uncomfortable conversation with a black man. It's got a little Texas theme to it, because both of them went to Texas. But that one, have you guys seen that? Either of you?
I didn't know Matt McConaughey hosted that.
No, he didn't host it. He was the guest on it.
Okay. I didn't see that. I just watched the guy talk. Emmanuel, how do you say his last name?
H-O?
Ashu?
I don't know how you say his last name, but I watched one of them. It was actually really smart.
I saw a good interview. It was network TV. I have no idea what network, but with Matthew, he was good.
Oh yeah, he's early. Really good in this.
He's very early.
They just talk about, like, what is he doing as a white man that he doesn't even know he's doing that's racist. And it's like a pretty honest conversation. It's really, yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, you know, it's just like, let's just get it out here. Like, the black versus African American, like, why, what's the difference? Stuff like that. Like, you just talk through.
I gotta watch that one.
And then I think he talks about saying he's heard people say he's smart you're educated for a black man. Stuff like that, that he's like, all right, what am I supposed to do when I hear that? How do I respond? And all of that. Like, it's just really interesting. I don't know. It's like a cool conversation that people are now having. And on that note, Mark, how did you feel about your roundtable this Monday?
I thought it was good. I thought we had a lot of good. Our panel was awesome, right? Malcolm, Jay Willie,
Jimmy. That was a heavy hitting lineup that you had. I'm impressed.
It really was. Right? Wally Walker. Ty came on for a couple of minutes.
My homegirl, Jen Busek.
Yeah, I just mentioned her. Thanks, Dougie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. You good. I want to make sure I mention her, because we didn't have a lot of women aren't being represented in this so much. So I think it's important. We tried to get Dawn Staley last minute. We tried to cover a lot of demographics, and T-Dubs, that was you with that smart idea. And that was important, right? We had, and we had two non-UVA people. We had Tate Frazier from the Titus and Tate Show.
Right.
And then we had Fred Davey, who runs the Civilian Complaint Review Board. And I know he's not a Virginia person, and he did a little promotion of his advertising.
He went a little OD. He went a little long. I'm not going to lie.
But
appreciate it.
some of what he said was really important.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right?
Talking about the complaints, talking about how many complaints, how they're substantiated. This is, you know, and the good thing about having him on is for the people who think that this is just a few bad eggs, right? There's more than annually averaged, I think there's more than 6,000 complaints against the police in New York City, right? And those are just the complaints. And that's just New York City.
And then I was going to say, and then the comment that we got on YouTube that you and Ty so graciously responded to.
Yeah.
Like we expected some of that.
Do you want to read it?
Yeah, I can read it. So it was from Joe Willett. It said, "Let me educate you, Ty. I'm a Trump supporter and surprise, surprise, I'm not a racist. Do you realize that you just called half of your fan base racist? Your dad uttered the name Trump first to bait you. You get it, honest?" I don't know what that means. "I wanted to listen and understand, but your ignorant comment caused me to tune you out immediately, as well as other fans as well, two as wells." But
there's so many things wrong with that. But that's not Ty's response. Like I would never bait my child into doing something. I'm offended by that. I'm so offended by that, right? Like, I actually do love my children and would never put them in a position where I didn't think that they were comfortable or could handle themselves or in a favorable position.
He did. Ty responded. It was great for people. I'm not going to read it. You guys can go in the YouTube comment section and read it. And then Mark, you had an open invitation for the guy to come. Yeah.
I want to sit down with him.
He didn't respond. He didn't respond. So
I'd love to sit down.
Was that a live? Was that a live comment during the thing?
No, it wasn't live. It was post. Post. So during the replay, someone replied.
I got it. I'll try to find that on Reddit because I have no idea how to find this stuff. I'll tell you something that it was very interesting. You guys got Tate on there because he grew up a lot the same way that I did. And he said something that made a lot of sense and hit home to me. Like me, you grew up playing sports. So by definition, you're around every kind of person in the South. There's black people and white people when I grew up. And if you play basketball, guess what? You're going to be with a lot of black dudes, right? And what he said that was really interesting to me, he said he and his friends could get away with a little more or a lot more than maybe the black kids could get away with because of whatever. And I thought that was a very important thing for young kids to hear. Because I get that. I get that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We just grew up and we just played sports and everybody's along for the ride and whatever. We all go to each other's houses. Don't think about it. But in school, around the community, not in the harsh policeman way I'm talking about, but just in school and things that people might be able to get away with and might not, or, you know. That for me hit home because that's, you know, where I'm from.
I wasn't even a ball player. I've gotten away with a lot more in my life than I would have if my skin were a different color. I mean, you know, you look at your interactions with police. Like I wasn't too far out of college. Got pulled over. Cop found a bag of weed. And we were driving my friend's car. Friend gives up his bag of weed under the driver's seat. The cop holds it up after he pulls it because his friend told him where it was. And he's like, "Is this all you guys have? Remind me not to party with you guys." It was literally what he said. And he said, I'm gonna vouch for this and have it destroyed. He pulls my friend's lighter out of the bag. His lighter was in the bag. He said, "You're going to want that back." He said, "You guys better be careful. It's going to get you in trouble one of these days."
Oh, my God.
And sent us on our way.
Phony. So he's telling you, you ran with a weak crew.
right. It wasn't much.
That's how I read it.
Of course, the roles were reversed. This was a black cop. Two white guys get pulled over. You know, there's guys that are doing time because some cop finds a joint in their ashtray. You know, this was the opposite. Yeah. So, I mean, that was quite a demonstration of privilege for us at a pretty young age. And, you know, so I'm glad to see some laws changing around that because
I have an almost identical story, but it has nothing to do with weed.
What's that, Mark?
Where were you?
We were at the comedy club. So this was another comedian friend of mine. And
what state?
Virginia. Mm. And we had we were killing some time before a show.
What year?
I mean, it was probably 96. I mean, it was a long time ago. And it was weird because we pulled out of this neighborhood and like six cop cars passed us going the other direction. And so they pull us over and they say, we've gotten these reports. We keep getting these prank calls that there's bodies back in these woods. And we know it's a prank call. And so we see two young guys driving by. And the cops had separated us. And I'm like, man, we're just killing time before a show. And, you know, my boy, like he like cracks under the pressure talking to the cop. And the cop's like, can I search your car? And he said, no. And the cop says, well, that makes me think you have a weapon. And he's like, well, I don't have any weapons. And so right. He's like, so what do you have? And he's like, well, I got some weed under the seat. And, you know, but the thing is, like, and I mean, it was a great interaction. So we're both like spread out on the hood of this car. He's got, you know, got us there. You know, the cop's like, man, you got everyone getting high these days. You got senators getting high. And I'm like, yeah, but what could they do for us? What do they have, franking privilege? We're entertaining and it's funny, but it's, you know, I think if my skin were a different color and if that cop's skin were a different color, it could have been a very different situation. It would have been a very different situation. And so, like, you know, like looking back and especially one of these things, like all these protests and stuff do, I really think is hopefully it makes a lot of us examine our lives and examine a little bit of the privilege that we've had. And to me, like, that's one of the things I've been thinking about. Like, that was a really good example because, I mean, there are so many guys that would have ended up, you know, in jail because of that. And you get in jail, now you lose your job and you lose your job and you can't pay your debts and everything starts spiraling. Because of something little that someone else whose skin color is different would get away with.
That's crazy.
So, I took that in a weird direction. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. No, thank you for sharing that.
I think the moral to the story is to carry more weed next time for the record.
Right, right. I was like, this guy's making fun of how little weed that we had.
Hey, come to the show later. You'll be impressed now.
Yeah, but my buddy ended up he ended up doing a bit about how he just completely cracked. You know, when
I could see
was questioning him. But you know, it was enlightening, and it really ruined the whole night because he was just freaked out by the whole thing. But that was the thing. Like, that was the scariest interaction I've had with a cop. I've never been pulled over and had to worry, like, you know, is this guy going to harass me? Is he going to shoot me? Is this going to be the end for me one way or the other? Like, I've never had that worry when I see those blue lights. I'm like, I'm pissed off and I'm worried about my insurance rates. Like, that's what happens to me if a cop's pulling me over.
Yeah. You've never been pulled over in Rio with Sean Moore and Chris Slade by machine gun toting policemen, than have you?
No, I think I'd remember that if,
yeah,
Rio.
Yeah, I have a Ted Jeffries, Chris Slade, and Sean Moore came and visited me. I lived in the Northeast in Bahia, but we all met in Rio. It's a very long story, and it's nothing crazy. Long story short, we're coming back in a cab to our hotel in Copacabana, and we're in the South, and they call it a blitz. So there's policemen stopping cars. They look at you and say go, or they say stop. First cop says stop, and I speak fluent Portuguese. Chris and Sean are from, you know, they speak English and played in the NFL. The second cop looks, and I think the cabbie told him that we were speaking English, so he's like, get out of the car. And I was like, guys, just don't look at him, look at the ground, and don't say anything. Long story short, we get out big guns, policemen down the streets shooting at somebody running up into the hills, blah, blah, blah. Long stand. In any event, I think when Slade and Sean got out, he like kind of respected the stature of a couple of big fellas. And
yeah, Slade was a scary guy.
And I just basically said, I'm like, dude, I speak, you know, I live here. They don't, we didn't do anything. We're just coming back from a party. So anyhow, he was not impressed with the amount of weed we had, 'cause we didn't have any. So,
hey, but you know what? I think a lot of people of color have such different experiences, like you're talking about, like that, where it is so impactful on me. Anytime I see a cop car, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
There's so many stories, like falsely arrested twice, right? Yeah. One time sued the police because of it. And then another time I was driving on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and cops don't necessarily know if I'm black or Latino or whatever they think I may be. And so in this case, one time I was falsely arrested, one time they put down black, and one time they put down Latino. But I was driving with a bunch of friends. I happened to be the lightest one in the car on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. All of a sudden, six cop cars come screeching within inches of my car, guns drawn. Get out the car, get out the car. And I'm flipping out. I'm freaking out. And now I'm driving and I've been with my kids, with Ty and Kobe, and I am nervous. And I've been stopped. Cops come up to me and I'm like, I'm embarrassed how nervous I am in front of them.
I get nervous
it's,
too.
It's humiliating when they stop you. And I've been harassed multiple times.
Right.
Right. And that's New York City, right? Which is supposed to be the Northeast, where it's supposed to be a lot safer and a lot better for us. Yeah, and some people don't understand, right, how humiliating this is. And that it's the foundation of racism that drives these guys to behave this way. It's bias. T-Dubs, can you also talk about the one favorable comment we got? I mean, a few people sent favorable ones, right?
Those positive ones. Yeah, you're right.
But Kate sent a really nice one.
Yeah, Kate basically thanked everyone for being on with it. And I mean, it's also another really, really, really long one. But she was very complimentary of everything. And for me personally, it was cool too, just to hear all different angles from people who I admire, right? To come out, all UVA guys mostly coming out and talking about like having the courage. I don't know if it's courage, but feeling the responsibility. Like everyone reached out, was like, yes, I'm coming on. And it's like, it was not a question. So I thought that was really cool.
I think it was courage. I think it was a lot of courage. Yeah. I think you're talking about something that Colin Kaepernick got fired for, perhaps got fired for, right?
I mean, and I was looking at the panel and thinking about it, and like, I mean, Malcolm obviously well established, but all of the other guests are trying to make it in life, and really, you know what I mean? Like assistant coaches, you know, the CEO, president in Wally, but still, he's not, you know, he's still in his career. Not like I'm so established, I can say whatever I want. Like Jenny's the assistant coach; he's not head coach, right? You know what I mean? Like all of these things are like people are still making their way in their careers, and they're willing to come out and talk about this and use what platform they have to promote this is pretty, for me, that's really, really cool. Makes me a proud alum of UVA for sure.
And that's a great point, T-Dubs. Proud of the UVA community.
Yeah. Willing to speak on it. I don't see any other school where everyone comes out and is willing to talk about it. That's all I'm saying. Maybe it has happened now. Texas did the thing with those two guys, which I thought was really cool too. But yeah, it's good stuff.
Charles Snowden, man, he's been super active. Like I respect that.
Yeah, the one. Do you see the one today? I was gonna add that one to our list today, where he did an interview and he said, kind of what Mark, you talked about. He said, hey, when we look up in the stands, we notice they're a lot more white than anything else, and we hope you guys will continue to support us, all, you know, kind of off the field. And
yeah,
the elephant in the room that we talk about, and then you know, right, people like Joe Willett, who's clearly in support of Trump, but also supports an athletics program that's predominantly black. So like, how do you reconcile that right, strange?
Yeah. I mean, the best thing you can say about the folks that take that position is they may not be racist, but they're okay with racism in order to achieve their goals, which might be money, lower taxes or whatever, which again,
financial gain.
Right. And I don't think that's okay. You know, I'll say when I was a student and we talked about this previously, Simeon Willis was one of my roommates. He was a starting quarterback. I remember when I was down on the field as a photographer, when he would have a bad series, the alumni side of the stadium seemed a little too quick to turn on him for that. Like I remember thinking at the time that it was race based, and I don't remember who the back was. The backup, Mike Rowe, was that when Mike Rowe was the backup?
No, Mike was. Simeon
was after, right?
Who was
Simeon?
Who was
I think Simeon was after because they both were in school with me.
Okay, Simeon's Mike backup was a white quarterback, and the alumni seemed real quick to me to you know, be ready to put the white guy in, and then when the white guy was struggling, like
that for sure. And I get that part.
And I was a little bit disappointed, and I certainly wasn't very enlightened back then when it came to issues of race, but that really stood out to me even then.
Was it Matt Schaub after him?
Was that Matt Schaub back then? Yeah, maybe. It was one of these guys that UVA fans would know, and that may have been who it was. Now, maybe these fans were just really clued in, and they knew that we had a backup that had a lot of potential, but it was always a little bit weird. It can't be Matt Schaub back then in 93? No, he's not that old.
No, who was it with 93?
No, you're right. It's not.
This was, I think, probably...
Mike was a quarterback my last year.
Okay.
93. 92, yeah, so, sorry. So 93.
Yeah, so maybe in the Michael. Next year that Sim got the job, maybe over Mike, and maybe that's what it was. But, yeah.
Wasn't Simeon? Simeon was a great baseball player, too. Am I right?
He was drafted, I believe, by the Blue Jays out of high school.
Yeah, and really, really good dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he was such a nice guy. I mean, both Sim and Randy – We're just super, just stand up guys, and definitely contribute a lot to my kind of changing how I saw the college athlete thing. I don't know that if I'd known you, Doug, that would have been the case. But
oh, I was the best. I was awesome. Trust me.
What about this Zion Williamson thing?
Man, we could spend 3 hours just talking about this because this could go so many directions. Yeah,
for sure.
What's the latest on it?
What do we want? What aspect of Zion Williams? So it's a lawsuit. He signed with an agent. He canceled that contract with the agent.
Can I back you up a second?
Yeah.
He didn't sign with a basketball agent. He signed with a marketing.
Right. Right. So not an agent. So what do you call
marketing
it?
Marketing company.
Okay. Somebody maybe realized, you know what, somebody will give me a shoe deal without having an intermediary. So she's suing him. And he's claiming that because they didn't get the required disclosure on the form about eligibility, that he's not bound by that contract. And she's saying, well, actually, you weren't eligible because you took money. I mean, like, it's got to be the most open secret. I mean, in the season, everyone was talking about this house that his family lives in. And was it not the same house or just the same neighborhood that – Their big star the year before his family was living in.
Right.
Just a coincidence, I guess. Crazy.
Right.
You know, he's on record, he's not on record. The Adidas folks were on record that he turned down $100,000 or whatever to go to Kansas and that he wanted more. And so everyone knows, like, come on, you took something and probably you took a lot. And the rumors have been out there for years about the numbers that these top guys get to go to Duke. But does anyone really expect the NCAA to do anything to a program like Duke?
Right. Right.
I mean, that's like,
go ahead, Dougie.
I mean, it's just why does the NCAA exist, right? Because of Duke, because of this, because of that. And it's a hard for them to really do the deep dive and cut those guys out or give them a problem. It's going to take a lot. I don't know what I think about it. I don't understand why coaches – and Coach K was always great to me when I played, whether it was sincere or not. He's changed over the years. I don't know why he still does it. And I can't understand what would his motivation be.
When you say does it, what do you mean by does it?
Coaches. Kills himself coaching. Like I think
of 8 million reasons why.
Well, for sure, but he doesn't need 8 million reasons anymore, I think. But it's almost, it's for me, it's infatuated. It's very interesting, like psychologically, with his history. He's from Chicago, went to Army, played for Bobby Knight. He built Duke up. He's won championships. I think those guys get to the point where they like having Zion. They like having Kyrie. Like, it's their guy. He does the whole NBA, USA basketball thing. I can't get my arms around it and why. And then that becomes the price, right? I want this guy to be on with me and connected with me and my legacy. So what's it take?
Well,
I don't know.
But if you're so passionate about something and you're getting paid very well to do it, why would you stop?
I mean, if it's that easy, I don't know.
I don't think it's easy, and I'm sure it's stressful. Right. I know it's stressful, but I'm getting paid $9 million, $8 million, whatever he's getting, and I love what I'm doing. And I get to hang out with kids. I just think I'm good at it.
I just think those guys don't have anything else, right? Like, in terms of like a hobby or
I don't know.
Fishing or go. No, I really don't. Like, you know, the American dream used to be, you know, make a gazillion dollars, retire, and move to Florida and die when you're 80, whatever. They don't.
But also, these are right. These are his friends, like that circle of coaching, right? Like if he's very friendly with Boeheim, from what I understand, he's friendly with so and so, and every time they get together in the summertime, they can hang out, right? When they go to AAU tournaments, he says he has some time to hang out with his family too, I'm sure. But it, again, I get to be around my boys. I get to do something I love, something I'm really good at, and I get paid well. Why would you leave?
I guess to let somebody else keep to build the thing up to even be better. You know?
Okay, but what am I going to do? If I don't have a hobby, then what am I going to do?
No, I get it. That's my question. That's my question. I don't understand the makeup of that type of drive. And if it's because you make $8 million a year when you have 50 in your back pocket, I'm not impressed by that. But I get it. All those guys, they're older and they hang out together. They get to see each other, but they're not seeing each other every day. You got to deal with this. You're never not going to deal with these things that are hassles, right?
So I'm going to ask you, so what do you guys predict? What's going to happen? I think that the guy whose house is going to get investigated, he may be banned from Duke for a year or two. Right, I don't think anything happens to Krzyzewski. Right, I don't think anything happens to the program. And then I don't know what happens with the lawsuit. Does it get thrown out? Does Zion get sued and CAA get sued and have to pay her some money? I don't know. And why is she doing it? Why is she coming out with this information? Does she think that she's lost the lawsuit? So at least she's going to get people to she's going to give information. She's going to share information.
I mean, that was the. I'm guessing that was the threat. Right, settle with me or I'm going to release all this stuff.
I don't know. I mean, the idea is, you know, because she didn't give that disclosure, the contract isn't valid. Well, you know, so she's saying, well, you weren't actually eligible then, so I didn't need to give the disclosure, so the contract was valid. And man, you signed a meal ticket like Zion. I mean, I can understand wanting to get paid. And what's so funny is most fans, even like Virginia fans that I've talked to about this, are like, yeah, Zion deserved to get paid. I mean, he's a generational talent, and I feel fortunate to have seen him play in college, to have seen him live. I mean, he was an amazing player and deserved probably more than Duke was paying him. However, and this is the what makes the system work is everyone needs to be playing by the same rules. You know, if we agree that Zion should have get paid should have been paid, then we say, okay, you need to change the rules. But it doesn't work if a program like Duke, if a program like Kansas or LSU or Arizona, if they can skirt the rules and do whatever they want, and then the Virginias of the world are playing by the rules. Now, mind you, we're playing by the rules and we're doing pretty damn well at it. And, right. You know, guys like Tony are getting the talent that they need. But, you know, there's probably something wrong with the system if we can't get people to follow along.
That's my point exactly. That's my point. You want to pay guys across the board.
Right.
Right. Why should Zion and some of those guys maybe going to the schools you mentioned because they're being offered incentives to go there versus Virginia. Right. And the formulas are different between UVA and those schools, right? A lot of those schools are one and dones and they have one and dones and that's how they excel and succeed. They're not winning, right? They're not winning national championships or coming close to it. Or I don't want to say not coming close to it, but they're failing. They're supposed to be these big powerhouses and they're not winning.
Right.
Something's wrong with the system.
Yeah, it's not an easy fix, right? Because I feel like any law, you're going to be able to skirt around it for so long until they figure out that loophole and then they'll figure out another loophole. So I don't know what the answer is to this stuff. I think it's like way more complicated than.
But I know, like, I don't know how much it costs to go to Duke for a year. Is it 50 grand? Is that what it's at now? But is it higher. But a guy like Zion is worth more than 50 grand. I mean, that's the bottom line. And
absolutely.
And people need to get what they're worth. And so, like, I understand from Zion's perspective. And I understand, obviously, why any school would want a player like Zion. But if we're not playing by the same rules, if Duke gets to use a hoop that's twice as big as everybody else, then it's not a fair game. And if Duke is willing to pay the best players to come there, and the NCAA is going to look the other way, it's not a fair game. Right. That doesn't mean they're guaranteed to win. We saw that last year at JPJ. I mean, Zion was good, but it wasn't enough. Did he play in JPJ?
Was he? No.
He did.
Was he injured?
Zion?
Yeah.
That's
Yeah, I'm blanking on that.
He played. LeBron was there, right? No. Yeah, no, that was the year before.
That was Zion.
That was Zion year. Yeah.
And they played both. They played at home anyway.
That's right.
Those were the two losses.
He had one of the greatest blocks.
Oh, that's right. On DeAndre.
Right. He won both those games. Right. I was thinking we beat Duke last year, but last year wasn't the year that Zion was there.
That was a made for TV block, I should say.
Yeah. Oh my God.
DeAndre kind of fumbled the ball on his hip or whatever.
Right. And it was a really low pass. But it was dramatic, right? He jumped so high to go get it. But the point is taken. Yeah.
Right. I mean, Zion's amazing, and I loved watching him. I felt so lucky to get to watch him in the ACC tournament, UNC versus Duke. I mean, that was a lot of fun, and I was pissed off because we just lost to Florida State, I think, and you know, but it was still like, man, I'm seeing this guy who is so good now. You know, we'll see if he can stay healthy. A guy with that's carrying around that much mass that can move like he does, that puts a lot of work on the joints, and I wonder how long his body can survive.
For sure, a career.
I hope it's a long time.
And the Nike shoes, right? I think the whole thing out of this for me, everything I've seen, and I don't know him, but I've heard about people that do know him. Zion's a great kid, and he is still a kid, right? A little bit. But now he's got to be a man. Yeah. If it costs him any sort of significant money, which I mean, $5 to $10 to $15 million, that's a shame.
I'm gonna tell everybody. You why I agree with you.
It's shame, but that's shame on everybody.
But the other side,
all of it.
I agree with you that he's a really nice kid, from what I understand. Right? I've heard from Ty. I've heard from DeAndre, and I know they hang out. They were hanging out during the rookie training program, and the UVA guys and the Duke guys, right? There are two guys that may not like each other within that group, and Cam Reddish and RJ Barrett. But
RJ.
Yeah. But Zion's supposed to be a real nice kid. There's two things. Like, if CAA convinced him to sign with them as his agency and his marketing guys, and then he loses money to this woman, Gina Ford, that would be the big shame.
But also,
he did breach the contract. Right? He signed a contract with Gina Ford. He signed a contract with her, and now he's breaching it.
All right.
Where's the level of responsibility unless CAA said, you know what, we got you. If anything happens, we're going to take care of this.
Well, and I know in some states there are laws against inducing someone to breach a contract. And so, I mean, it would be possible that he would have recourse, depending on the state and all that, where he would have recourse against CAA to cover his damages from there. And it may be, if they want to stay in their good graces, that they would come to some.
I'd actually be interested to know the percentages of how much CAA or whoever the fuck you said they make off of these deals. It's got to be.
Well, the standard is 20%.
Worth what?
Off marketing deals. Off marketing deals. Now, what happens is,
does that mean if you do a Pepsi commercial, you get 20%? Or
so if he does a Pepsi commercial and he gets $100,000 for a Pepsi commercial, standard is 20%. But what happens is,
20 grand.
They really want Zion. They're going to reduce that rate. They're going to say, hey, give us 10%.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they're going to, if they want him, and maybe it's more than that.
Yeah, 10 of $100 million is a lot more than 10 out of 10 of 100 grand, right? So I guess.
Or out of zero, right? Because if you get Zion, right?
I had a lot of marketers back in the day.
By the way, Phony, a year ago it cost $74,339 to go to Duke.
Okay.
Tuition, room, board, books.
I was going to say 70 minimum. 70,
yeah, I mean that's 20. That's crazy, and that's an entirely different topic is how expensive college is compared to necessarily what you get out of it. I mean, how long does it take the average Duke grad to pay back a $300,000 education? I mean,
did you pay for your Virginia?
I did. Well, I got some Pell grants. I got some Stafford loans. I mean, I was a poor kid. I mean, and so.
Do you remember the price per year or whatever?
I'm pretty sure tuition was $6,000 a year.
In-state.
Wow. In-state. You know, plug and room and board was on top of that. So, I mean, I think I left college with $15,000 to $20,000 in loans, and I was like 32 when I paid for it. But I mean, $15,000 to $20,000, like compared to what kids are paying now, I mean, it's ridiculous. And you know, starting salaries, like the expectation of how much you're going to make your first year out of college, has not gone up enough to justify those increases.
And if it has gone up, it's because you live in San Fran or New York, and your cost of living is so high.
Right. It's like, I'm going to get out of college and I'm going to make $60,000 a year. But yeah, you're in New York, and you know, that's
where you can live.
Right, $60,000 a year is not.
You have 25 roommates on the Lower East Side.
Right, 300 square foot apartment, and you know, but I was fortunate because, I mean, there were resources there where, you know, I either got some help or I had some small scholarships, but, you know, I had a lot of loans, and I mean, that's the way it was. But again, you know, you look at the loans I came out with, you know, that's, you know, as far as starting salaries go, that's half a year, you know, less than a year, you know, of a starting salary. Now, you know, if you're coming out of a program, a place like Duke, with $300,000 in loan, I mean, I can't imagine that. Like, how are you going to find success? How are you going to buy a house? How are you going to? It's just, it's unreal. And we're in this culture.
And by the way, that $300,000 loan is not priced to the mortgage of a house, because there's nothing to back it. Right, you're the backer of it. Right. So you're not getting a 2.5% mortgage, interest only, blah blah blah. Right. You're paying 6% on $300,000. Insane.
Yeah, because you're counting on me, which is a huge mistake.
Right. At the end of the day, they come and they get to keep you. They have you and your cat. Nice.
Yeah. Great.
Where'd my cat fresh go? I was gonna change the subject. I was looking at the reviews on Apple, and one person wrote to the Mr. T review, whoever that is, you posted those comments about Dougie Fresh, you are a clown. Doug is smart, sensitive, funny dude who brings great stories, content. I don't see the original, but somebody came to bat for you. The original one.
But somebody else came at me. That's the
somebody else came at you, but that they deleted that one, whoever did it. I don't know. Yeah.
What was that on? That was it.
That's on Apple.
Yeah, you're welcome, Doug.
Right? Thank you, sir. This is what people, my bosses for my whole life and my coaches never understood. I need love and protection. I don't need you to be hard on me. When I get attacked, like Mark just did to me, I don't do well. I go into a shell. Actually,
Dougie, when did I attack you?
I'm kidding.
You're a little sensitive, Dougie. Tonight.
I'm sensitive. No, in sports, I react to it well. On the court, a coach curses me out. That's great. I'm good. I can do it. Like, if I'm at work or whatever, and somebody's like, I'm like, oh man, I don't like this shit. Like, let me just.
I don't think anybody wants to be attacked. Right?
Yeah, go ahead,
Tony.
Mark.
No, you go.
In Portuguese, you call it amor e carinho. I need love and comfort.
See, my day job, and that's probably because I'm not confident in what I do. Like criticism is like, oh, crap, I need to do better. But when I was doing comedy, like if people would heckle me, like, oh, it's on. And the fifth time someone heckled me, after I got off stage, the manager of the Thurgood came up. That was my home club. He came up and he's like, man, we got to talk. Like when you get hecklers, you got to be nicer. You can say what you're saying, but you at least have to do it with a smile. Cause every time I went after him, the people left the show. And he's like, you're making people leave the show. Cause you're coming back too hard. And,
that's great.
Can you give an example? Yeah. Can you give me a story? I'd love to hear that.
That was seven bourbons deep for the record.
But I think hecklers suck. Like, why are you coming to screw with me on my job? Sure. I don't come to screw with you on your job.
And every comic has like their own heckler stuff. You know, my favorite go-to was, you know, when someone started heckling me, I'd be like, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Can you say that into the mic at your table? Oh, there's not a mic at your table and you're not part of the effing show. Yeah, there would be more F-bombs than that. I'm trying to stay clean for your audience.
You're good.
Me and you, phony. Those two heathens.
It's Thursday. It's Thursday. We can do what we want.
I think that's what the complaint was, it sounds like.
Too much profanity.
Yeah, Dougie? I think that was. Yeah, I think that was. Oh, what okay, it was.
That's different.
It says if you need a podcast where former players don't curse once in a while, then go watch Disney Plus. Is what that person said.
Wow. clean up your potty mouth, Doug.
Like, dude, Weekend Willie Dersh, McDonald's All American, one of my best friends, UVA great. He says I'm one of the guys that can get away with cursing, and it doesn't sound like a curse, so I'm going with him.
There you go.
It's not vulgar. I'm not being mean, motherfucker. I'll tell you what. You talk about the hecklers. Chris Havlicek, my year of Virginia, he came in. Everyone knows the story. His dad, John Havlicek, 9 NBA championships, 13 All-Stars, whatever.
Havlicek stole the ball.
Havlicek stole the ball. So Chris, by definition, cannot win, right? But he had the greatest comebacks with fans. Marky, I think we're at Virginia. No, we're at Carolina. Pre-game, the band's playing, blah, blah, blah. But it's like an hour before the game, shooting around. And some asshole is just screaming at him, Havlicek, you suck. You're skinny. He was redshirt at the time. Like, everything, you know, keeps going. And we're all like, oh, dude, man, how do you take this? Finally, Chris turns and looks at the guy, and he goes, dude, you play the trombone. Like, I'm on the court. You're playing the trombone in my game. How are you coming after me?
You're looking at me like I'm the asshole.
Right. But, boy, oh, he had the best things.
I broke it?
The cursing. I thought you were going to stay away from it.
Asshole. Oh, I can't. It's Doug. He's a bad influence, man. It used to be the worst. Like, I would go to these rooms, and the manager would be like, okay, it's a conservative crowd. You need to keep it clean. You know, no F-bombs, minimal other cursing. You know, the F-bombs are always the worst, but the other cursing, you know, you got to keep it clean. So I'm going up there, and I'm, you know, I'm trying to clean stuff up. And we may have talked about this before, but it's a lot easier to take clean material and make it dirty and drop in profanity than to take dirty material and make it clean. And so, I mean, I'm struggling. I'm working my ass off. And then you get off the show and someone comes up and he's like, hey, enjoyed the show. Hey, here's a joke you can use. And he tells like the filthiest, like most racist thing you've ever heard. And you're like, what is wrong with you? And what is wrong with the manager? He has no idea who his audience is. Like, that's why you – looking at me like I'm so happy to be out of that world, because on the best nights it's like the best job in the world. Like, you feel like a rock star, right? And but those nights were not as frequent as the nights where you're just like
grinding. I
had really bad decisions in my life to get in here, and I'm so sorry.
And the cursing thing, I have tried to tone it down, because when I looked on the message board, that was also the complaint.
You've done a good job.
I've tried to clean up a little bit. I definitely have. No, you do what you do. I'm just make it as natural as possible.
I respect everybody. So for that person, we can.
Listen. I think it was a couple of people, one of them said I have kids in the room.
Oh, okay.
I respect that.
No, you respect that. But I grew up in Tennessee going to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night.
I can do a podcast.
No. I can do a Bible study podcast.
Yeah.
I know all of it, and I respect it. I'm a Christian, you know, believe in God, but I get it. That's different.
Yeah. My wife complained about it too, so that's another reason.
Yeah, I mean, I get that people are offended by it. I'm of the opinion it's just words. And I've had that talk, you know, with my kids. I had that talk with my oldest daughter years ago when she was like 8, when she first started asking. And I'm like, for some reason, we've decided that shit and poop mean the same thing, but you're not supposed to say shit and poop is an okay word to say.
Right.
I didn't make the rules, and I don't really care what you say. However, if you say shit, people will think I'm a bad parent, and therefore you can't say that. I don't want people thinking I suck at my job. So you can't curse, but understand that at some point you will, and it doesn't make a difference. It's just words, man.
Yeah, I don't get it. Not ideas. I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all, because, like, for me, it's, like, part of communication. If it helps you communicate your style, go crazy. Like, shit, fuck all you want. It doesn't bother me at all, but I get it. Some people get offended by it. I mean, we got to.
I'll do push-ups for my cursing, so I'll get in better shape. But Chris, my TW and Marky know this. I have 5-year-old twins, and my son Ty, we'll be outside playing, whatever. I'm like, Ty, let's go to the slide and go play. He's like, hell's nah. And I'm like, I don't think you even correct that. He might be the next fucking rapper from New York City that just kills it.
Yeah. What about the song he was listening to?
Oh yeah. Look, Ma. No. He says, what's the woman's name? Alexa?
Alexa.
I'm walking by his room and he's like, Alexa, play Look, Ma, No Hands.
I'm trying to figure out, Dougie, where's he getting that from?
Well, he's got a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old Brazilian brothers. So,
yeah, that's really.
But I may or may not be.
That's your story.
I might be a little bit of a Waka Flocka fan. So,
how often does he see them, Dougie?
Well, Luke lives here all the time, and then Kyle's back and forth in Brazil.
All right, okay.
So he gets the curse in English and Portuguese. So we can cover it up a little bit. But that's Chris, to your point about words, in Brazil, the curses are, it's like more accepted flow of like speaking, right? They're not really bad and they don't come across
it's as just words,
hateful.
Man.
Yeah, it's not so, but I get it. And I apologize to that person, TW. I'm not downplaying that at all.
No, when my daughter was, I guess she was like five, she had this little miniature stroller that she would push her baby doll around in, and she's pushing around the house and she runs smack into the trash can, taking a corner, and she goes, damn it. And my wife at the time, I'm not married, my wife at the time, she was like so pissed, and I was like, she used it properly. Like that's where you use that. Because in general, kids are bad at cursing. Like they just don't know how to use them. They've heard words and they throw them in at all the wrong times. I'm like, she used it properly. That's where you should say, damn it. But we didn't see eye to eye on that.
I just think when it comes to a level of disrespect is when you smack them down. You cannot disrespect people with your words, whether it's a curse word or, and that's, I don't.
Use them as adjectives, not nouns.
Right. Well, I'll tell you a different story about my daughter later.
Parent corner. I was gonna say, what do we think about the season starting? On what time season? Basketball season.
College.
Yeah, college. NBA's coming July 30th.
You guys can talk first. I have my opinion. My thought.
What do you think, Funny? You start. How are you feeling?
I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic that games will be played. I mean, it's sounding like they might be done without crowds. At a certain point, we're going to have to start, moving back to letting life happen, and everyone's going back to their jobs and people are going back to restaurants and all of that's happening. And I'm no epidemiologist, so I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but given how far off it is and the NFL and even NCAA football, they're talking about when they can practice again and stuff. So I feel like we're going to see games starting roughly when we expect them to start. Whether or not we'll have fans in the stands, it seems unlikely, at least initially, and that's just going to be so weird. I wish they had played – I'd got to see some games without fans in the NCAA tournament or in the ACC tournament when they were planning on doing all that, because that's just going to be such a screwed-up thing to watch, and I'm going to be very entertained by that. But, I'm not expecting at this point, just based on what people are saying, I mean, they seem to be proceeding like we're going to play – Villanova at Madison Square Garden, but I can't see them packing the garden at this point or allowing it. But that's what I think. I think basketball will start, but it will not look quite like we expect it to.
Yeah.
Dougie. Right.
My opinion, I think it's going to start unless something really crazy, and there's only about 20 crazy, really crazy things that have happened in 2020. So who knows what's next, but I think it's going to happen. It's going to start. I think there's going to be a massive home court advantage, bigger than ever, because I don't think anybody's going to let any fans, away fans, into their arena and vice versa, right? Because an outbreak happens or whatever. You can't trace it. Somebody, Chapel Hill had, 1,000 people at JPJ. There's an outbreak. How do you trace it back? So I think I'm not sure how many fans or how that'll look. But I think it'll happen. I just think there's not going to be any. at least fan travel in between without big time credentials and possibly testing the way the world is. Do I agree? Not at all, but that's a different story.
I need someone to claim that I'm a family member so I can go to some of these games.
Right. Well, be careful. You might gain a couple of children. That's going to reverse it on you on that way.
It could help too.
Or help.
Taxes.
Or help. Zion.
Right. You can claim them for taxes.
Right. Right. That's $2,000.
Yeah.
I think it's $1,500 per kid.
I think it's up to $2,000. I just did my taxes. Yeah. I should know that one
really well.
Yeah. It feels like we're primed for another round of Corona. That's what it feels like, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I hear. So I work. My job is very heavy news all day at Wall Street, Bloomberg, and people talk about flattening the curve. So you don't want the curve to go crazy.
Yeah.
And it never. It didn't. It went crazy, but it plateaued. We're still, people talk about the second wave. We're still in the first wave. It just doesn't go down. It doesn't go down, but it doesn't go up. So if you got to a point and every day there's 800 cases, every day, 800, 750, 850, 800.
It's controllable at that point. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it is or not, but it's just, it is where it is. It's not wave two. Now, if all of a sudden you're going from 2% increase to 10%, then that's a wave two, right?
It seems like the protests and all the stuff that happened is we're primed in the next couple of weeks to get another surge of them. And then what? How does the country respond to that? That's my question. Like, you know, stock market didn't respond too well from us reopening.
Well, and the start of college basketball season is going to be right about the same time as a heavily contested presidential election.
Yeah,
right. That, I mean, may cause its own issues in this country. I mean, I'm a little bit worried about what we're gonna, you know, see surrounding that. And so, who knows what kind of situation we'll find ourselves in? I mean, I'll be looking for basketball as an escape, no matter what.
Absolutely. I'm hoping Joe Willett comes on the podcast so we can hear that side of the story. Honestly, I do not because I'm like cheering for beef. It's just more like I genuinely want to understand that side, like an educated UVA guy that's part of the UVA family. If he'd come on and explain it to us, I'd be happy to hear it. Like, honestly,
right. Who knows for sure that he went to UVA?
No, I'm just assuming, right? You're watching the UVA Brown table and you're complaining about it, but maybe.
I've known some Willets around UVA.
Who's Joe Willett?
I don't know.
The guy that responded to the Trump comment to Ty.
There's
I don't think you're gonna get anything. I mean, yeah, if he wants to come on, great, but
I don't think he will either. It'd be nice though. I would just like to. I just like Mark. Us three we're talking about. Like, I'm curious. I just want to understand. I want to understand it.
And I want him to understand too. Why?
Yeah. Both sides. I feel like that's what we need. But remember, we talked about it. Like, we need both sides. And Justin was like, how are you going to find? How are you going to find someone on the side of that? And we were like, I don't know. So.
No, but I think these conversations. And there's a really good Canadian psychologist. I remember his name. He's on a lot of podcasts. And he explains hierarchy and life and whatever. Whenever you go too far that way or too far that way, you're out of the conversation. And this guy is saying Mark Jerome is baiting his son, Ty Jerome. I get it. Ty's a massive star from Virginia. He's different than students. But no, he's not. He's Mark's son. He would never bait his kid. That's beyond
–
everything.
So many things wrong with all the stuff that he said. It's just,
but that like Mark said to me, I thought about it, like that's beyond like I would want to do something to my kid. Like, stop. If you want to tell that guy to talk to me, I can talk to him.
There's also a guy, I mean it. Whoever Mr. T is on Apple, he'll welcome to talk to Fresh as well.
Yeah, no, but I apologize for that. That's not if he feels that way, he's not wrong. I'm wrong in that sense, but I'm still going to curse it. I like it.
Yeah, they're just words, man.
Nah, it's not. If you brought kids into it, that's different. I get it. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, right? It's like if you have kids in the room while you listen to a podcast, maybe you don't. I don't know. I don't know how often that happens. I don't know how people listen to podcasts anymore. I would assume like in the car, going for a run, doing a workout, trying to do something else. You put on your earphones, but maybe you're wrong. Maybe you put it on Alexa and the whole house hears it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's poor kids.
All right. Just don't ruin my Thursday nights with Phony Bennett. That's all.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll always curse more than me. I'll curse a little bit with you there, Dougie. Just
don't break our alliance.
Oh, man. Don't tell Millie Smith that I'm a big cursor. She'd be upset. I don't want their reputation. Or maybe I do.
Sends it down with a tomahawk slam. That's the win here. On the front pitch, George out of the back of the tournament. Diakite. Jerome off the glass.